Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You okay then?
Yeah, I'm good.
Just shuffling. Shuffling on the high stools.
I'm doing the old TP shuffle. They're all doing it down on the boardwalk.
Are they?
Yeah.
What does it consist of?
Just sort of going... And then sort of making a bit of a noise with your microphone and then going, right, yeah, I'm ready, I'm ready.
God.
They're all doing it in the dance halls at the same time in sync. Yeah,
it must be such a raucous noise.
Mm.
All of these chairs just going...
But perfectly synced. And that's not easy to do with a chair because the chaos theory, you know, there's a lot of different noises that happen when you move a chair.
Right.
It's very difficult to choreograph, but they work hard.
For the money. So just, hard for the money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all these chairs in perfect sync just going like...
And it's called the TP Shuffle.
Yeah, the TP Shuffle.
Wow.
Tweet me your videos of you doing the TP Shuffle on Twitter, at that Peter Austin.
Yeah, anyway.
Mm.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump Podcast. My name's Ben.
My name's Peter.
This is a video game podcast where we talk about video game things.
Video games.
Video games, plural. Video game, plural.
Plural.
How are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing good. That camera seems a bit closer than normal, actually.
You think?
They've got a little bit of a sexy close-up of us.
Is it closer than usual?
Yeah, no, because I normally have to get up and it's normally right at the back.
Oh.
Right at the back.
Well, we usually have Adam setting us up, but he's not in today, so we've had to do it ourselves. So if it all goes wrong...
It's Adam's fault.
It's Adam's fault, yeah.
Oh, hello?
For God's sake, as soon as we start...
Do they wait for us to start? Because we do it at different times every day Friday, but they just know.
Clunk it, just a bunch of heffalumps up there.
Gosh.
A herd of actual heffalumps.
Can we get the lease for the top office and just empty it out and have nothing in there?
I think we just need some peace. A broom. So we can go...
Brum.
Hit the ceiling.
That little car that would drive out of the small garage.
Yeah, but like fitted with guns and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the end of Breaking Bad.
Oh,
and
my God.
Just go up there and there. That brum will sort them out.
Sounds good. Yeah, apart from the cacophony above, it's a podcast where we talk about video games and have a good time.
Yeah. Sure is, Peter. Mm. It sure is. We start off, though, with a tweet from Thomas Doppelreiter. Doppelreiter? It's a German name, maybe.
Yeah, Doppelreiter. Double writer.
Is that what it means?
I don't know what writer is. No, that's writer doesn't mean writer.
I don't know.
Left,
I don't know. Yeah. No. Lidl and Aldi, or Hofer without an umlaut, are not run by brothers, which is what I said last week.
You did, and I said umlaut, so we're both wrong.
Aldi is divided into two branches, north and south, and was founded by two brothers. Why you no researching? He's from 2008 with the memes.
Oh, I see. So Aldi itself is divided into north and south, which is two brothers, but not Aldi. That did sound a little bit suspect. I think I was a bit cynical about that.
It might just be a chain of misinformation then, because I was definitely enthusiastically told that by someone else who'd just discovered it.
Was it one of the Aldi brothers?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe Lidl saying, hey, we're just as good.
I'm John Lidl. My brother, Jacob Aldi.
Yes.
Who inexplicably has a different surname.
Aldi Lidl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, thanks, Thomas.
Thank you for putting us the correct there.
Mm.
They are surprisingly similar supermarkets, though. I did tweet him and say that for our transgressions, you would slap me on the podcast.
Well, you didn't ask me about this.
Well, it's not, you know, it's not a sexual thing. It's just...
Even so, I don't consent.
You don't want to hit me.
I'm not slapping another man on, or it's not because you're a man. It's
right. Just, I mean, that would
not
be
slapping
sexist,
another human being on camera.
Why?
Unwarranted. No.
Why not? Just a
doesn't deserve a slap.
Just a light tap.
If you find the person who told you that Mr. Aldi and Mr. Little were brothers, then I'll slap them. But
hi, Mum. It's Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter says. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Mum, yeah. Yeah, mum. Peter would like to slap you, please. Yeah. She's on her way.
Love you. She's on her way.
Okay, good. So I could have rung her. I've got her number. It's on speed dial.
I know you have. I know you have. Well, there we go. That's the end of that. Mm. We kick off with a question, Peter.
Yeah, we do.
All these questions come from patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Delightful supporter people.
Subpoena.
I don't think there's anything there. So people, the podcasters, yeah. Who like to support us financially, and you can do that too at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. The first question comes this week, Peter, from Carrie Butchtar, who asks...
I think it's probably Buchtar rather than Butchtar.
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 We got a couple of troubling names this week.
Oh yeah,
in
difficult
terms of pronunciations.
Names.
So, I've set myself up perfectly by not only having to read this one, but having to read the difficult one at the end as well.
No, that's question two there.
Oh no! You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's on you then.
I'll read it. I can definitely do. Yeah, I think I can do that. Actually,
you think you can do that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm confident.
Do you want to give a sneak peek?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Rory. That's just pronounced Rory.
Is it pronounced Rory?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a really interesting, different way of. I've seen it spelled like that once before.
Hmm.
R-U-A-I-R-I, Rory. And then the surname, I think, is just Gemmell, but possibly Gemmell. That's harder, arguably.
Gemmell.
Gargamel. Anyway, we've got a question from Carrie Butchtar.
Growing up, how did you and your siblings share consoles and playing time? Any major fights? Either of you doomed to consistently yet unintentionally watch the second player's screen because it's all you've ever known?
Well, when... We had our very first console, which was a PS1, mm-hmm. and I'm one of three. We would have to kind of just sit and watch each other. My sister wasn't really a much of a gamer ever, so it was me and my brother.
Yeah.
But I think back then, because we were quite young, we weren't sort of on it incessantly. Like, it was more in our teenage years where that is just what you would do with your free time.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in the country, so we would just go out and play outside a lot.
Play with the sticks.
Yeah, play with sticks and hoops. And,
yeah.
Tip mammoths over, which, you know, they can't get back up again.
Right, yeah, no, they can't. There's big tusks.
Yeah. So when I was maybe, I don't know, about 10 or something, mm-hmm. me and my brother both wanted a console from... I mean, I say from Father Christmas. We knew that it wasn't from Father Christmas at this point.
Oh, did you not? How old were you?
I think like 10 or 11, maybe.
Oh, okay. That's about the right age.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the thing was, our sort of... The person we would look to for all video game advice was an uncle that I've mentioned quite a lot. He used to live near to us, and he was a big gamer. Mm. And he was a lot younger than my mum, even though they're siblings. So he was he was sort of like between a parent and a sibling, a kind of middle age.
I see. Like
not
a
middle
big
age,
brother.
But yeah.
Middle age.
A
he
medium
was 50,
age.
But
yeah.
He was my brother.
He had an Xbox, an original Xbox at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and my brother both asked for Xboxes each for Christmas.
Wow.
We weren't expecting that we both would get one, but we thought, well...
Might as well hedge our bets.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I better ask. If we both ask for one, we might get one.
Right.
My parents, thinking back now, I can't believe that this happened. There was a time, just to bring down the tone, there was a time my mum wasn't very well when I was younger. And maybe that's why we were both lucky enough to... We got a console each, is where I'm going with this.
Yes.
And ordinarily, I wouldn't expect that financially, but... My brother got the Xbox, mm-hmm. and I ended up with a PS2, which I didn't ask for.
Oh.
But in hindsight, I'm really glad that that's what I got.
I know, it shaped you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So at that point, we both had little tiny box TVs in our bedrooms, and we had a console each. And there wasn't really a lot of having to share the console. The one thing is, though, that like if we were cross with each other for some reason, what we would do or threaten to do to each other is to like wipe each other's saves.
Wow. Yeah. That is some passive aggressive stuff right there.
I don't know if we ever actually did it, but we said like, oh, if you keep doing that, I'm going to wipe your memory card tomorrow. I'm going to wipe your memory card.
Was it a sincere threat? It wasn't a joke, because it sounds like a joke.
No,
it sounds like you're just sort of taking the mic.
No, I think it was like, it wasn't an empty threat. I think we would have done, but it just never came to doing that. I think on a couple of occasions, my brother tried to wipe my memory card on my PlayStation by removing it while the console was switched on.
Oh, wow.
But I'm pretty sure, actually, that isn't enough. It has to be while it's doing something, while it's saving or auto-saving. I think, as a general rule, you can actually just take memory cards out of a running PS2.
Right.
And it's not necessarily going to like cause any issues, because sometimes a game will say like, oh, there's no space on this memory card, remove it and insert another one, and I think that's fine. But
yeah, I was always working under that assumption, unless you're saying don't remove the memory card, you're probably fine to
yeah. So that, I mean, in terms of major fights, we wouldn't fight over consoles really, because we were lucky boys. But we would use the consoles in as a proxy for other fights.
Right.
So yeah,
nice.
What about you? You've got sibs.
I do have sibs. I have multiple sibs, and I'm the eldest sib, mm-hmm. By 3 years, and then there's two sisters between me and my brother.
Right.
All 3 years apart.
Yeah.
So I was the only person interested in playing games for a long time.
Mm.
And even now, my brother's into clothes and girls and, you know, hairspray and looking fashionable.
Smelling nice.
Exactly. And like, not like me at all at that age.
Yeah.
He was interested in games for a bit, but like, even then, I'd had consoles for ages by that point, and I was able just to like, he was the one looking at my screen rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
The closest I had was my cousin I was very close to growing up, because he didn't live too far away, and he was less than a year older than me. He got all the cool things. He had a Mega Drive. He had a Nintendo 64, the special Pikachu one.
Oh.
He got all the Pokemon games on Game Boy first before I did. One of which, so I used to watch him play a lot. Watch him play a lot of that. But he got Pokemon Gold, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever, because it had like a phone in the game where you could call up trainers that you'd battled before.
Oh.
That was mind-blowing to me. I thought that was incredible.
Hello.
The Pokégear is one of the greatest innovations in games, particularly Pokémon games.
To this day. Yeah.
It blew my mind at the time, and I thought, I need to play this. And I don't know how, but I persuaded him to let me borrow his Pokémon Gold, and of course you only get one save.
So
he was like, right, you can play it, but don't save it. And I was like, okay. So I had the charger, the mains adapter, for the Game Boy, so I could leave it plugged in,
right,
so it's not running off the battery power, so I didn't have to turn it off.
Right.
So I could just play, not save it, and just keep it on forever.
Oh my God, that
just
sounds
keep playing it.
Like it's not very good for the Game Boy.
I've still got the Game Boy. The Game Boy's fine.
Okay.
The Game Boy's all right.
That's pretty good.
But what did happen was, in the Pokemon games, where you, when you have too many Pokemans, you can only carry six.
Right.
Oh, you've got a unicorn hair.
Oh,
there.
Have I? Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Little twist, little Pokemon's there.
Thank you for that.
Little Pokemon.
A little pokey hair.
Well, it's still doing it.
It's just trying to get.
There it is. You got it.
I got it.
Okay, it's in.
Can everyone just stop?
Oh no! It's
Can everyone stop watching the?
Hang on.
Can we just switch to audio version, please?
Yeah. Okay, you're looking good. Is he looking good? Everyone in the comments, let Peter know how good he's looking.
Thank you. Thank
there
you.
We go.
Thank you for getting that for me, Ben.
That's okay. It just slowly across the conversation just unfurled.
It does, yeah.
Like a peacock.
It's because I only do it when I go on video. What I should do is like style it well in advance. I say style, all I do is sweep it, but I should sweep it well in advance, and then it has time to sort of settle.
It's true. Peter looks like Dennis the Menace when we're not filming on a day. It's
definitely.
All just spiky all over the place.
Yeah.
So when you only have six Pokemans in your party, and when you catch another one, it automatically transfers it to your personal computer, where you can then go and withdraw Pokemon and deposit Pokemon and so on and so forth. In Gold and Silver and all the other ones, actually, you have multiple PC boxes, so you can only have so many Pokemon in a box.
Right.
And then it has to change to a different box. So I had been catching loads of Pokemon, and I went to change box on my PC, and it saves when you do that.
Oh no.
And I didn't know that I'd been so careful not to save it, and I didn't know that it was going to do that, and I was absolutely mortified and terrified.
What did you do?
Well, I went into school the next day and I told my best friend Jack. Mm-hmm. Jack just told my cousin.
Oh, Jack.
And my cousin threw a rock at me.
No.
Yeah.
He threw a rock at you.
Threw a rock at me.
When you say a rock, how big is this rock?
Like maybe about this big, maybe an inch all the way around.
Yeah,
just a stone he picked up off the floor and he threw it at me.
Oh my God, what happened? Did he get in trouble for doing that?
I don't think so. He was really mad. I don't think it may have hit me in the leg, but I was wearing trousers, so it wasn't too bad. And then I can't remember anything else after that, but I distinctly remember.
It hit you in the head.
Maybe that's it. I woke up 10 years later in the back of the Skyrim cart. That's the meme, isn't it? So that was my only fight experience from sort of a sibling person having
video game
issues. Yes, I got a rock thrown at me for saving over his game on Pokemon. But then it was fine. It's all good. We're still good. We laughed about it recently. He said he couldn't even remember throwing the rock. And I was like, I bloody do.
Yeah.
Threw a rock at me.
There's things like that from my childhood where, you know, only the one party remembers it because they were the one.
They were the traumatized one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to my cousin's house once and apparently, I don't remember why I did it, but I like smashed my chin open on the floor.
Oh God!
Like split it open. I think I'm told I was jumping onto like this big beanbag, like Superman.
Sure, yeah.
But and like my body landed on it, but like my head then went down onto like a hard floor.
No.
And apparently, I just told my aunt that like my cousin had pushed me, and she tells me that you do realize you said it was me. I went to hospital and had like 3 stitches in my chin.
Wow.
And apparently I just felt really silly, so I just said, "Oh yeah, she pushed me." And she got like
absolutely I was trying to be Superman.
She got bollocked for it apparently.
Well,
and I don't remember saying that, but she assures me.
I think you owe her reparations.
Well, I've tried.
She gets to smash your chin open, I think now.
And then she gets to do it for real.
Yeah. No, I think you're owed she's owed a favor, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Thank you for that question. Mm. And now, Peter, it's time to move on to one of the most groundbreaking segments in all of podcasting. Previously unheard of, pioneered here.
We have a sort of bonus question leading into this, don't we?
We do. Do you want to take it?
Sure. This is from Jason McMillan. Mm. That's a very easy name to read.
It is.
Yeah. Jason McMillan, bonus question 1B, says, there is only one question I need answered. What are you playing?
Peter Austin, yes. What we playing, Peter Austin, tell me what you're playing, please.
That should be the new theme tune for the segment.
What, like sort of a rough Bodger and Badger theme tune ripoff?
Yeah.
Peter Austin, what you playing, tell me, please.
I have been, would you believe?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't.
Never mind.
Go on, pigs.
Oh, I in preparation for live streams from our other venture.
Yes.
I did a little bit this week of Spyro the Dragon.
Oh, you played some Spyro.
The Treasure Trilogy, which is not what it turned out to be called. Remember
That was the rumor. That would be way better than Reignited.
Reignited, yeah.
Reignited is a weird word anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, because it's a USP, but it's strange.
Because it looks like rain. You know, like the word rain.
Rainated.
Yeah.
Rainited. Rainited.
Reignited.
Reignited. I bleed Reignited.
Yeah.
Reignited until I die.
Go
do a sport. Reignited. Reignited. I don't know what we're doing.
I was kind of thinking about it because I know that like in the next couple of weeks I'll probably be doing a stream on it. Yeah. And it kind of made me think, not played that game in a long time now.
Yeah, like, we sort of just we looked forward to it for so long.
Yeah.
Burned through it in a month and that was it.
And then, I don't think I've really picked it up since then.
No.
So it just kind of made me, it was also partly because like I've been dabbling not very much in the Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
But my games are sorted alphabetically on my PlayStation and Spyro is right next to it.
Oh, so what? So you've been going into, you've not been, still not been playing Spider-Man?
No, I mean, I've played a bit, but I've just been, I couldn't help myself. I was like, oh, that's that game that I literally waited years and years and years for. And then I played it through once and then never again.
That's it.
And I think I had to use a clip of it in a list recently. So it kind of just made me want to, you know, sometimes you get an itch. that you need to scratch.
Yeah, little spy rich.
Yeah, a little spy rich. Still haven't played it. Still not playing it with the new soundtrack that they've made
you're
for
not.
The game. No, not. I've heard like a couple of tracks in like other people's clips and things like that, and I just don't like it.
Wow.
Some of the actual notes are wrong. Like the actual melody changes.
It's very important to you.
It's like if someone... Well, I mean, it is if the main actual tune of a song has changed. I don't mind if like so much if the instrumentation's changed, but it's like someone doing a remaster of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and going, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. That's kind of what it is.
A remaster of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre.
Because it's like in tune, so you know they've chosen notes from the correct kind of scale, so it doesn't sound like there's just like a like note out of nowhere.
Yeah,
but it's just the wrong one. So
I can tell that's really annoying you.
It's not annoying me because I don't listen to it.
Well, I suppose,
but if I had to, then I'd be real cross. Especially given that one of the worst offenders is Dark Passage from Spyro 1, which is one of my favorite levels. I don't want to play through my favorite level and hear like. Make me a bit cross.
But. I had the classic one on for like all of 5 minutes, and I thought, you know what? This is a proper remaster. I'm going to have the full thing on.
Yeah.
But I don't know the music as encyclopedically as you do.
Right.
That's probably an issue.
But apart from that, I'm really enjoying it. There's been an update. You can now turn the motion blur off. I never had an issue with it, but some people were feeling really sickums playing
I never
Spyro.
Had an issue with the motion blur. I had an issue with the gliding.
Yeah.
Because the gliding frames seemed very different and weird, and I had a lot of issues. I died more to just falling off levels than I did to anything else.
He has like a weird thing where if he reaches an edge, he sort of hops up without using a hover.
Yeah, that threw me off.
That doesn't
loads.
Happen all the time.
It's really difficult to time your triangle presses now.
Yeah.
Because you could know before, you could get it pixel perfect, or you could press triangle when your snout was touching the thing.
Yeah.
But now, because he tries to grab stuff, you overcompensate. Mm. You do it early, and then you just smack into the wall. And he does this stupid headbutt thing now.
Biff,
I'm falling. I can't hover down to the floor. I'll die now.
That's true. But they've done an update. They've done various bug fixes. I checked the patch notes, and I think Spyro 3 hasn't had that much work done on it. So the one really buggy entry into the trilogy still probably has issues. They've added subtitles as well for all the cutscenes.
Yeah, it was
like
weird that wasn't in there anyway. Was
yeah.
It?
So just been enjoying that. But I just want to get a bit further into Spider-Man before I bring it to what we're playing. So
are you enjoying
week.
It though?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is like it's like playing Spider-Man 2 again, isn't it? Just but better. Talking of music, that's as much as anything else. That's what I really like about the new Spider-Man, the Insomniac Spider-Man. It's like when you get swinging and suddenly the music just kicks in. Yeah, feels great. So. Hello.
Sorry, it's burned. That one is burned into my mind because I played that game. So I finished that game on New Game Plus on the hardest difficulty.
Did you?
Yeah, for the extra trophies they added. I haven't played a game like that for a while. That I have, I'm not really getting anything out of it other than there's a gold trophy to get. But like I just wanted to play it.
Yeah.
Like that game is. Like, it didn't get, like, 100% and stuff. It was, like, really high 80s around the 90 mark, which is exceptional, obviously. Mm. But, like, that game was... I loved that game so much. It completely... It took me on a wonderful journey.
It's really sort of carefully done, I think. They've really, you know, they've not just gone, oh, we'll poop out a Spider-Man game. It's not that hard. It's just as long as you do some swings, then it's
and
Spider-Man,
kick,
right?
Biff, thwip, pow.
Yeah. Absolutely. But no, they put a lot of love into it, so that's good. But
yeah.
More of that maybe next week or whenever.
Yeah.
Ben,
yeah.
I've got a good idea what you might have been playing this week.
Yeah.
What you playing?
I played Bloodborne. So as I mentioned on the podcast last week, I was just about to head off on a fun Bloodborne weekend with my friends.
Right.
To play through all of Bloodborne because one of my friends hasn't played through it. And we're sort of catching him up. So we did finish the whole thing. And we just started the DLC, and that's what I spent my whole weekend playing, and it was brilliant. But the whole time I was thinking, Sekiro. It's downloaded on my PlayStation, and I really want to play it. So I finally was able to play it on sort of the start of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a video about it, new format called Quipscope.
Quipscope.
Where we're looking at new releases that we have been playing, but, you know, haven't had the time to play all the way through to properly review it. So we're just having a discussion
about how we're finding scope them out quickly.
Quipply.
Yeah.
And then also I streamed it as well at the start of the week. Mm-hmm. I've played it since then, and it is still very hard.
Yeah.
Still trying to unlearn all of my ingrained Bloodborne and Dark Souls knowledge. Because it's one thing going from Dark Souls to Bloodborne, which is similar but has controls that are slightly different. And that took a little bit of transitioning for me, because I've played so much Dark Souls over the last year. To come back to Bloodborne was quite a challenge. But then I was just losing my mind playing, because I played a bit of Bloodborne to continue the DLC that I started with my friends at the weekend.
Right.
So I played a little bit of that earlier in the week, and I was all over the place. I was pressing all the wrong buttons. When we played Mortal Kombat 11, the beta, on stream earlier this week, I tried to press R3 to lock on to the person I was fighting.
Oh, yeah, you did say that, didn't you?
What the hell is wrong with me?
A Bloodborne thing or a Souls thing.
Yeah, a From Software thing. R3 to lock on to an opponent, or, you know. And that's what I tried to do in a one-on-one fighting game.
And sort of side-scrolling, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt like a madman.
You are.
I've made it a bit further. I defeated the big drunk man.
Oh, good.
I worked it out how to do it. I was able to take out all of the people around him and then sort of lose him, do a sneaky sneak up behind him, and then get a stealth attack to take off one of his hip, like his instant kills, because you've got to do it twice for the bigger enemies. And then I was able just to fight him normally, and by the skin of my teeth, I managed to beat him.
Must be satisfying, though.
Like, yeah, it is.
Someone who's just been absolutely trouncing you the whole time, and then you finally get that in. I remember I had that with Kingdom Hearts on the PS2, because there's some hard bosses in that game. Mm-hmm. And then when you finally do it, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yes. I am struggling to strike the balance between scrappily using every tool in my arsenal to just about make it, and also be just good at the game and like parry and stuff. So I'll survive with like a tiny amount of health. I'll have used up my die twice to come back. I'll have used up all of my spirit emblems to do my special shinobi prosthetic attacks, like with the flame barrel and the big axe and the shurikens and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll beat him and be like, does it feel like a hollow victory? I'm not
sure.
That's
the thing. That's where it feels less satisfying, when you're like, okay, I did it, but I've got like 3% health left.
Yeah.
I've used all of my, you know, health potions or whatever game it is that you're playing. It's like, yeah, I did it, but at what cost?
The important difference is that I'm not, when I defeat these, they're not even main bosses yet. Like, I tried to take on a main boss called Lady Butterfly, and people who play Sekiro are very familiar with Lady Butterfly. She is a bastard.
Right.
But I gave up on her. I'll come back later when I'm better. Because again, like, there's loads of different paths you can go down.
Yeah.
Like, if you get stuck on one, and just go somewhere else and see how you get on that in that direction. Mm-hmm. Thankfully for me, it's less about, when I defeat these bosses finally, or these mini bosses, it's less about, oh, thank God it's over.
Right.
I'm finally done with it. There's more of a sense of pride and accomplishment than there is of a sense of, thank God that's over. Don't have to do that again.
Right.
Like, because if you're bashing your head against a brick wall for ages in a video game sometimes, you're like, oh, I just want to be done with it. This isn't fun. I just want to be done with it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the sense of, oh, I did it. Mm. I beat the thing. Is far more powerful than the alternative.
Okay,
thank God.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Is this drunken man? Does he fight in a kind of drunken style?
So he's called something the Drunkard.
Right.
He's really, really big. He's like twice as tall as you are and five times as wide.
Mm.
And he's got this huge curved sword, and he's got this thing, and he drinks from it, and he spits poison out. He spits poison on his blade.
Right.
And his attacks are very sort of sweeping and like sort of
all over the place. There was a guy in Mortal Kombat, I don't know if he's still in the roster or not, who would like drink from a bottle and sort of spit it and do things like that.
Oh, okay.
But also there's a way of fighting in some martial art.
Yeah, it's that drunken is like kung fu or something.
Yeah, Lei Wu Long in Tekken 3 used to do a couple of, he would like, you could make him start like doing that, and then he could like swing his, yeah, something about like your weight and the way you throw your body, I think.
Yeah, and also making your opponent completely off guard as well. Like, they don't know what to expect.
Mm.
I have been watching a load of guide videos and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Something that I think is a weird control choice. You can customize a lot of the buttons, which, thank God, I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay.
The button to switch which Shinobi prosthetic you have equipped on your arm is triangle. And to use an item in your quick select bar, you have to press, I think it's down. But then to scroll between them, you have to press left and right. So while you're moving around in the environment, trying to like evade enemies and desperately trying to scroll through your stuff for your healing items, you have to hold it like sort of like a crab claw to move. And also you have to bring your fingers up over the top of the controller to press the directional buttons and then press another directional button to use it, which is really unwieldy and quite difficult to do.
Yeah, sounds tricky.
So thankfully, what you can do is switch use item to triangle.
Okay.
Because you're far more likely to be using items, you know, far more often than you are to be switching your prosthetic.
Right.
So it just makes far more sense for like down to switch prosthetic and triangle to use your item. Because triangles actually heal yourself in Bloodborne. That just make there's lots of small things you can do to make the game feel a little less sort of, I don't know, intimidating.
Yeah. Because that's just an extra level of kind of difficulty that you don't need. Isn't
it? It's not necessary.
Having to
But it is phenomenal. I've just gone through this. Lots of people will have seen from pre-release material there's like a bit with a giant world snake thing.
I've seen that thing, yeah.
And that whole section is really good. Because it's the first, I would say, you know, this is different from most From Software games in that it's not a Dark Souls game, it's not a Bloodborne game. This is, while it has many similarities, there is a real narrative here with a sense of linearity at times.
Right.
And this whole level is very linear and it's just basically a sneaking mission.
Okay.
Where you have to just get through this valley without being spotted by this snake. And it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to play it, but then not having the time to do it. So tonight, hopefully, I'm going to spend a little bit more time playing Bloodborne. Sekiro, and also this weekend as well, playing a lot.
You've got
more
a whole weekend ahead of you to play it. Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to it. But again, thank you to Activision for sending us the code for that.
Absolutely.
And that's it. That's what I'd be playing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
We've got a question, Ben.
Yes.
This is from Rory.
Gargamel.
Gargamel. Rory Gargamel. Gemmel. With the lack of success of video game movies, would it not be better adapting them to a TV series? Would side quests and secondary characters not bode well with a longer running time or just become filler episodes? If this were to work, what games would you like to see become a TV series?
Yeah. This is an interesting question. Because, of course, the most high-profile one probably going currently is The Witcher.
Yeah.
The Witcher's getting a Netflix adaptation this year? Or maybe next year?
It must
year?
Be soon.
Because it They've was announced talking about last it. Yeah. Year. There were photos, because it's got Henry Cavill in, which I think is a huge get for a video game adaptation, at least. And he's going to be playing Geralt, The Witcher. Geralt, The Witcher.
Yeah, Rory Geralt.
And there are already photos of him. Photos came out last year of him wearing the grey
wig. Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's
so
right.
It's been floating around for a while.
It was a slightly dodgy hair job, I think.
It was. He didn't have like his scruff or his beard or anything.
No,
or his
and it was
scar,
just sort of a promotional image. It's not exactly indicative.
Yeah,
of,
I'm sure it'll be better. Yeah. I'm sure it will. But what do you think, Peter? Because video game movies are always awful.
Yeah, they are. Maybe that's right. Maybe it does. I mean, if a video game itself, like as a general rule, you know, a AAA title might be between 6 and, well, maybe up to 20, 30 hours, 40 hours, depending on what kind of game it is.
Yeah.
You know, a movie by its very nature is only going to be like 2 hours-ish long.
Yeah.
Maybe it does make sense to make them run over a much longer period, you know, 8 seasons with like 40-minute episodes or whatever. I've heard good things about the Castlevania adaptation.
Yes.
I've not seen it yet.
No, that's true.
I'm not really a massive Castlevania fan. I liked Lords of Shadow, but that I think a lot of people would say that's not real Castlevania. But,
yeah, not in the original style. It's an excellent game, but it's not in sort of the original Castlevania. I'm not a Castlevania fan either, which is why I haven't seen the show, but I have heard amazing things. There are, of course, lots of animated video game adaptation shows, you know, Pokemon.
Halo.
Halo. But basically all of the Japanese games have had animes at various points.
Yeah, that's true.
But in terms of a proper adaptation, there aren't too many out there. Certainly none of note. Whereas The Witcher could change that. And I think generally in terms of games we'd like to see, things like Fallout, basically any world, any sort of open world RPGs or RPGs in general, I think are ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
Just because you could adapt some of the side quests in The Witcher into an entire episode. Mm. Like, overarching narrative, but then one episode he just goes and helps the horrible drunk, what's his name? The mayor of that town where everyone's got a Brummy accent.
Right.
With his, like, dead child and stuff. That was an amazing side
quest. Literally just lends itself to just, you know, here's 45 minutes or whatever of I'm doing this one thing for this one episode. Standalone, yeah, here's a side quest.
Yeah.
And then you could have, you know, a series arc with the main quest, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No,
that's a good idea. I know that there is talk of a Little Nightmares TV adaptation.
Okay.
I really like that game. Like, in certainly, like, the visual style. I don't know how they're going to translate it, whether it's going to be, like, live action or kind of that almost claymation-looking Tim Burton style,
yeah,
you know, that it is in the game. And I don't even know how they would make a narrative out of it, because the character doesn't speak. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess they've got ideas. It's certainly a world I'd like to explore. I think that's the thing. Like, sometimes it just takes a good world. You talk about Fallout, you know, that doesn't have a specific character, like a lead character, because of its the very nature. You know, you build your own, it's an RPG. But in a way, that makes it like a prime example of something that could be adapted, because, you know, The Witcher, they're going to have to make sure that they emulate the character very well.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what Geralt is supposed to be like in
their
heads.
And what he sounds like.
And what he sounds like and what he looks like. Same with, like, the idea of an Uncharted film or TV series. I only want to see the actual Nathan Drake. I don't want to see someone trying to play him.
No.
But something like Fallout or, you know, Elder Scrolls or something like that.
They can be adapted.
Yeah, they can be adapted, and the lead can be anyone they want. Like, the writers and the producers can just come up with this lead character, and we're not going to go, but he doesn't look like, you know, the lone wanderer. Well, it's fine, you know.
Certain games wouldn't work, though.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I was just thinking, oh, what about a Mass Effect TV series? No, I don't think I want that. Because what made Mass Effect so good was the choices that you could make and the relationships you built with the characters as you went through.
Yeah.
I don't think that would translate to a TV show. And I don't think, unless they get the correct writers on board, Mass Effect Andromeda and, to a lesser extent, Mass Effect 3 proved that it can go wrong.
Yeah.
You can get it wrong. And it could just be the most generic sci-fi TV show ever, just featuring familiar aliens.
Yeah.
And that would be crap. So it would, all of these would have to be done very well. Fallout, I think, probably lends itself best to it, just because it's, you can do anything and kind of say that it fits in with the lore.
Yeah, you just set it in that world.
Yeah. And there's a man, there's a bit of power armor. Ooh, there's a nice little reference.
Yeah,
I wonder
if
we'll see something to do with that later on. Mm. But yeah, like, I think I've got high hopes for the Witcher series. I really do hope it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I think in general the answer to the question would be, yeah, I think maybe it would be better to adapt games to TV series more often than movies.
Yeah.
When has a TV has a video game movie ever been good? Did you find any when you did your list?
No.
Any good ones?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, good is subjective.
Well, I know.
Because people will enjoy video game films. Mm. Like, we went to see Rampage last year.
Yeah.
And that was entertaining enough, but it was bad.
But I think more than you as well, I quite enjoyed it,
right, with Dwayne the Rock.
Yeah. And
Dwayne,
I felt
Theric.
I felt silly about it, but I thought, yeah, I kind of thought
that's
fun.
The thing, you can enjoy these films, like, some people enjoyed the Assassin's Creed film from a couple of years ago as well. But speaking from a critical perspective, the best reviewed video game movies ever are last year's Tomb Raider and Rampage, which are tied for 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, see, that's...
So, like, there's no critically good video game films. There just aren't any. Mm. Like, you can enjoy them, but there aren't any critically good ones.
No.
So people just can't get it right, because you're trying
to
condense this... Well, exactly. You're trying to condense all this stuff into 2 hours, as you said. It doesn't work. But a TV show, now that could work if done right.
Mm.
And the way the Persona 4 anime does it is so good, because not only is it an anime retelling the story of the game, but it features a very small and subtle video game aspect to it as well.
Right.
Not like Scott Pilgrim, where he sees a one-up and he grabs it and says one. Not like that. But like... In Persona, as you make your way through, you have various stats like bravery, intelligence, charisma, all that kind of stuff. And the higher they go, you train those up by spending your free time at the library or at the batting cages or lifting weights and stuff. And depending on what your stats are, that will affect who you can, you know, proceed relationships with in the game, be they romantic or just regular.
Yeah.
Like if you're a brave person, you're talking to another brave person, they go, I like how brave you are, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So as the anime proceeds, you start off basically just being this mute, monosyllabic guy, the protagonist is. And then as it goes, he becomes more articulate. And at the end of certain sections, it'll actually come up with that screen of the different stats, and one thing will level up. It'll say, like, courage leveled up.
Okay.
And it'll just be a really subtle thing. And in the next episode, you'll notice that he's actually doing things that he wasn't doing before.
Okay, yeah.
So it's really subtle, but video game adaptations could easily introduce something like that, where it's presenting it as if it's serious fiction, but then it still has little overlaid elements of the video game itself.
Yeah, well, like in Fallout, for example, they could have like on their Pip-Boy, they could have like something saying how many rads they're currently at, like, you know,
or location discovered and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of in-game things. Anyway, there's so many things they could do with it, and people have speculated for years whether they will eventually get it right. It's one thing. But the important thing is that they're getting the video games right, at least.
Yeah,
and that's what we're here to discuss.
Yeah.
Peter. It's time for weird news.
This just in. Weird.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Weird news time.
I put it down.
It's weird. Pick
during
it up.
The transition.
Weird. Welcome to Weird News. This is where we both bring a weird video game news story along and present it to the other person and see what they make of it. This time on my weird news, I'm just accepting a privacy agreement.
Oh.
And here I go. This comes to us from Destructoid, and Chris Moyes wrote this article.
Thanks, Chris.
The title is Man Busted for Buying Cheap PS4 Console After Pretending It Was Fruit. So this is actually from January, or the end of January. See if you can make sense of that head title. Head title? Headline. Man busted for buying cheap PS4 console after pretending it was fruit.
Man busted for buying it after pretending it was... Oh, yeah, I know this story. I've worked out what they're trying to say, but really badly. But yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In France, a teenager has been busted after using a self-service checkout to buy a PlayStation 4 console for less than a tenner. 19-year-old Adele picked up the console at a local supermarket and hefted it over to the fruit and veg section, where he weighed the console to bag himself a DIY price point.
Yeah.
So he picked up the PS4, took it to the little scales, and then printed off a sticker that said £10.
I think he said bananas, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think he selected bananas.
Recognizing the console as a £6 bag of fruit, the scales gave Adele a price sticker for €9, which he then used to scan the PS4 through the store's self-service checkouts.
Mad.
It's believed that Adele later sold the console for around €100, which is a bargain for anyone who bought that.
He should have sold it a lot higher than that.
To pay for a train ticket to his hometown of Nice. In southern France.
Oh.
So I don't know what that's about, but it's kind of sad, actually,
God,
at that point.
He desperately wanted to get home. He was like, I'm going to have to go and get a PS PS4 worth of bananas, or a banana's worth of PS4.
However, don't feel too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Seemingly onto a sure thing, the master criminal then attempted the exact same shtick at the exact same store the very next day.
But he'd got away with it.
Where he was ultimately apprehended.
Didn't realize it happened twice.
Yeah, he went back.
He should have just...
That's the thing about a criminal, they always return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Mm. Earlier this month, a court sentenced him to an 8-month suspended sentence. Oh, and in accordance with French law, he's also barred from holding public office for a further 5 years.
Oh, no. But I wanted to elect, what was his name?
Adele.
Adele. I wanted Adele to be mayor. Le maire.
Le maire.
Yeah.
Le maire. Le maire de Nice.
Well, Adele, you're a silly boy, but I hope you got home all right.
Yeah, I hope you made it to Nice okay.
And had some of Mama's famous biscuits.
Dans le sud.
And Grandma's lovely carrot soup. Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Oh, God. That sounds like a weird Austin family tradition.
No, you don't. Grandma's carrot soup at all. No.
Grandma carrots. It's a special breed. Mm. They're grey.
Oh, no. And they've got beards on the ends.
Oh, no. Little stubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was excellent.
It is excellent.
Because people always abuse the self-service checkouts, and they've gotten wise to it now.
But not always in that
way.
They
walk through with a PS4. Surely a PS4 would have like a... I don't understand. Yeah, it surely would have a tag on it. And they also don't just have PS4s on the shelves. Like, they would have display boxes or like little cards, at least in the UK, that you would take to the counter and then they would go and get it from the back.
Well, not in La France.
Well, hopefully they've learned, as well as Adele, that, you know, people just pretend it's bananas and try and buy it.
Think of all the other things you could do it, like, if the margin was smaller, you might be more likely to get away with it. Like, you could get alcohol, if that's not tagged in France, which it is in the UK quite often.
Well, everybody drinks in France, all ages.
Yeah,
so, you know,
no point tagging it.
It's stocked with the soft drinks at the front of the supermarket.
Yeah, I think some places have a tap that just has wine.
Yeah, it's a water.
The wine tap.
Le fontaine de l'eau. But it's not le.
No.
It's vin.
Vin. De vin.
Le fontaine de vin. I don't know what fountain is in French.
Fontaine.
Le fontaine de vin.
Le fontaine de vin. Vin.
Anyway, Peter, what have you brought for
This was submitted by someone whose name I will name drop later, but it would mean I have to close the page that I've opened.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
We'll do it later. But this is a story according to Bailiwick Express, that reputable, well-known...
I love Bailiwick Express.
...news outlet. Headline... Minecraft Bibles donated in bid to boost religious education.
I'm sorry, what?
Minecraft Bibles donated in bid to boost religious education.
Okay, so is this just a Bible but with all the phrases replaced with Minecraft things?
Well, let me read you more. Okay. I'll tell you more.
Please do.
At a time when religion is at an all-time low.
Oh, no!
Amongst Jersey's youth.
Is this Jersey, the Isle of Jersey, or Jersey and...
It doesn't actually say, but it seems to be a British website, so I think it's Jersey.
The Isle of Jersey.
Just the Isle of Old Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And regular Jersey.
They're in school uniform, so I'm guessing it's regular Old Jersey.
Okay.
At a time where religion is at an all-time low.
All-time low.
Amongst Jersey's youth, church groups have looked to popular video game Minecraft to get children into the Bible. Are you into the Bible, Ben?
Dude, I'm nearly swore. I'm bloody kickflipping on the Bible, my man.
To give children the building blocks of Christianity, local schools were recently gifted Bibles inspired by Minecraft.
Does Microsoft have to sign off on this stuff, do you think?
Well, it's apparently the title is The Unofficial Bible for Minecrafters - Stories from the Bible Told Block by Block.
Oh, Christ.
Recreate stories, including The Garden of Even.
I don't think that's a Minecraft thing, is it?
Is what it says here. I don't know if that's a really bad typo or if it's like...
Imagine doing a news story about the Bible and saying, I think it's about a guy named Bod.
Bod.
Jeebus Cripes and Bod.
The first man, Alan, and his wife, Ede.
Ellen.
Alan and Ellen. Steve. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Not Alan and Ellen. Block, blah, block.
It recreates Bible stories, including the Garden of Eden and Noah's Ark. Noah's Arch in 3D form, and is meant for children aged 7 to 11.
Right.
If you're 12, do not read.
Get out.
Copies of it were recently donated to a number of primary schools as part of the Bible donation program launched by the Religious Education Advisory Council, REAC.
Are they, sorry,
REAC?
REAC seems like a knee-jerk reaction.
It does.
Is there a website where I can, where I, a moral upstanding citizen, not in Jersey or 7 to 11 years old, can buy a Minecraft Bible?
Probably. I'm sure it exists elsewhere. It's just that they've...
I want to see it.
I don't think they've commissioned and published this themselves. I think they've just bought a bunch of them and then given them to 24 schools, it says.
Any Jersey children listeners who have a copy, let us know.
The kids, I'll show you the photo at the end. The kids look really, like, not particularly impressed. Like, thanks for my Minecraft.
We don't even play Minecraft. It's about Fortnite now.
Yeah, we have the Fortnite Bible?
Typical church.
In total, 24 schools have received Bibles, with secondary schools receiving copies of the New Living Translation of the Holy Bible. I don't think that's Minecraft related.
No, that's just the regular old Bible.
The Bible. They just get, yeah, some New Testament.
Great.
Yeah, so the stories are retold in block form and describe events using Minecraft features and humor.
Minecraft humor, what is that?
Minecraft humor. I'm just seeing if there's a fragment, a segment, an extract.
Oh, God, yeah. Please, I want to know. Is it where Joseph gets his technicolored minecart?
Minecart, dream cart. No, there doesn't seem to be an excerpt, which... makes me sad, actually. I might have to check Google for the Bible and see if it's on Amazon somewhere.
I do want to know what the Minecraft equivalent of Jesus washing a prostitute's feet is.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would translate really well.
Does Jesus wash a prostitute's feet?
I think he washes loads of people's feet.
Yeah,
is
but
one
I
of
don't
them
know
not
if
a prostitute?
Well, he
or
does...
is it just he just hangs out with a prostitute?
He hangs out with a prostitute and
well, clearly I need the Minecraft Bible, don't I?
And he has a baby with her, according to Daniel Darren Brown.
David Brown.
Yeah. I don't know if he washes... He might do. He certainly washes lots of other people's
I don't know.
Feet.
Who's to say, right? Almost like it's a story.
Oh, goodness me. Well, the great Lord Notch in the sky. Have you heard that Notch's name has been removed from Minecraft now?
Oh, I honestly don't blame them. Notch continues to outdo himself on a weekly basis to how much of an arse he can
be.
He
does seem like a bit of an arsehole.
He's a piece of work.
Just living in his mansion with no friends.
Really angry at the world, going on Twitter, yelling at minorities and women. He sounds great.
So then they just go on to justify why Bibles, not just the Minecraft ones, but the exciting New Testament copies in secondary schools have been given.
Big time, yeah.
Just by having a Bible in class, students can learn how to look up passages and can explore the text firsthand.
Look up passages.
They can learn how to look up passages. I think it means find the passages in the Bible, not go to an alleyway and
have a little peer in the passage.
Peer to the other end.
Good Lord.
They can engage directly with the scripts and think about what the text means for believers and for themselves.
Not believers.
Mutually
presumably
exclusive.
Not believers.
Yeah. I'm afraid there doesn't appear to be an extract.
Oh, no.
But I will now search Google. That was submitted by Fizzy Karma at Fizzy Karma on Twitter.
Oh, thank you very much for that. You have a look. You have a look at that. I'm going to read the next question as we move on to a question now from Matthew Knight. What's the most expensive piece of video game merchandise that you've ever purchased, and what led you to buy it? Peter, I have an answer for you right now.
Yeah, you please give me yours while I find this segment.
I pre-ordered and purchased the PlayStation 3 in 2007 for £425.
Mm-hmm. For £425?
It just clicked. £425 was the standard price of the 60GB launch PS3 model in the UK.
I thought you said for £125.
No, that would require weighing it and pretending it's bananas.
No, well, yeah, it would. So how is that how much it was?
Yeah, it was really expensive.
I suppose it was.
It was like 599 euros or something like that.
God.
The exchange rate has kind of gone downhill recently for some reason.
Well, the price has generally gone down as well.
Well, absolutely.
Not just the exchange rate.
This was so expensive. It had a Blu-ray player in it.
Yeah.
And I saved up for so long.
How long? Do you remember?
At least a couple of years. Like, I had a poster of the PS3 up on my wall for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, because I was a nerd man. It came out in Japan, then it came out in North America like 3 months later, and then it got delayed in Europe due to a shortage of mass-produced parts.
Oh, my God.
For like 6 months. We had to wait until 2007 to get it.
Tragic.
And fortunately, that gave me enough time to save up the rest of the money. But yeah, It cost a fortune. My best friend from childhood, Jack, also pre-ordered it. We lived in the same village, and we both pre-ordered it from the same website. £425 each. Do you know what they did?
What?
The website that we both bought it from. They shipped both of the boxes, both of them, to me. We ordered them independently of each other.
So they didn't know that you knew each other?
No. Got it delivered to the same village, and they shipped them both to me.
What?
They arrived in one big box, and one of them was addressed to him.
What?
Yeah.
So if you'd not known that guy, you could have been like, oh, here's my money back. I'll sell that one to someone. I'll just put it online.
Mm-hmm.
You probably could have even made a profit on it, potentially, if there was a shortage of parts. That is scandalous.
Isn't it?
So this was from some sort of independent seller, was it?
Well, this was from Play.com, which is now Rakuten.
Right.
Whatever it is. Play used to be amazing. I used to buy all my games
from
Play.com.
Yeah, I remember Play.com. I am listening. I'm just...
No, I know. You're doing important research.
I think I've nearly got it. But
in terms of what led me to buy it, it was the PS3. I was a PlayStation boy through and through over here, and I was so excited, regardless of how ridiculously expensive it was.
Right.
So I was going to buy it whatever price it was. But yeah, that was... fortunately, I got both of the consoles and was able to tell Jack, hey, I think yours is here.
I've got it here.
Just so you know. So fortunately,
it'll cost you 20 quid.
Yeah, there's a handling fee.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, what about you? What was the most expensive gaming thing you've ever bought?
Do you know, I can't really think specifically. Like, I mean, I bought a PC for several, like, £100.
Yeah.
I don't know if that counts, because that was more... The spec that I got was more so I could, like, edit on it and capture stuff rather than just, like, play games. You know, I bought a PS4 for, like, 250 quid, mm-hmm. I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like... My answer that I've written in preparation is that there's something that I own now that would fetch a tidy price, considering that it probably cost me about £10 or £15 when I first bought it.
Right.
I have a copy of Tombi 2.
Okay.
Tombi 1 is just so expensive on eBay.
Right.
Because it's even rarer than the second.
Okay.
So that goes for like between £200 and £500 because people are mad.
Wow.
Tombi 2 seems to be averaging, considering, like I say, it probably cost me about a tenner as a kid. I could sell it for between £50 and £200 for a PlayStation 1 game.
That's amazing.
I'm not going to. I never will. I'm going to play it until it breaks.
Yes. Enjoy it.
I will do. I do. It's a good game. It's a lot of fun. But I can't. There's things that like have a lot of value to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's anything that's like that's cost me a lot like financially, other than just like, you know, a console. But I didn't buy a PS4 on launch, so that was like 250 quid.
Yeah.
I got my PS2 from Father Christmas.
Nice. Nice.
So I think that might be it.
I remember walking into Game once and seeing a copy of I think it was either Ico or Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
Both of which go for like about 30-40 quid
right
now, just because they're relatively uncommon and they've got like a nice cardboard sleeve rather than a plastic case. And I saw it in there, it was like £2 it was already worth like 20 quid at that point, so I bought it and just sold it immediately. And then years later I was like, oh, you idiot, and I bought them back off the internet.
How much it was roughly?
It was about 25 quid each to buy each of them. But I've got them now. They're mine. I'm going to hoard them forever. We'll see how much they cost.
Yeah.
Right.
Ben.
Yes?
I found the interior of that book.
Oh, okay. Go on. Do it.
I've not really looked ahead. And at the moment, I'm not seeing any Minecraft references whatsoever. But here's the creation story.
Okay.
According to the unofficial Bible Minecraft version.
I'm ready.
Gabriel. Yes, my lord? Do you see the vast blackness that stretches before us? We shall begin with a big bang. Oh, they've put big bang, apparently.
Oh.
So they're sort of tying it into science.
A little bit revisionist, isn't it?
So there's a photo there of like Minecraft fireworks going off.
There is. Does it have photos in? Does this Bible have photos?
These are the actual pages of the inside.
Oh, okay.
It looks horrible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
And then there's just some bedrock in the darkness there.
Oh, wow, there is.
Yeah.
So when they say they're tying it in, they're just using game screenshots.
I think they do. I think, according to that description, that there will be actual references in here as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't want to deviate from the word.
Maybe.
The word of God.
The word of the God.
The earth was without form and shape, darkness. I'm going to skip through it until I...
See if you recognize anything. That's just the ocean.
Just the Minecraft ocean. Where should I begin with this world? I think I will start with water. In the morning... No Minecraft references. Lots of images that have been sort of created in Minecraft.
Yeah, it's probably because they, as you said, they don't want to deviate too much from the word of the Lord. Yeah. But also because the pictures are probably the most interesting part of it.
God then created all the creatures that moved and swam in the waters and every kind of bird.
Every kind of bird.
It's just a sea full of chickens, look.
Amazing.
And one squid.
And a squid. This Bible sounds amazing.
God then made wild animals, cattle, sheep, pig,
ooh,
and all sorts of... So there's a sort of Minecraft
Yeah, those
reference.
Are Minecraft characters.
There's a photo of a animals. Cow and a pig and a sheep. Yeah, I think that... Oh, goodness me.
What's...
There's a naked Minecraft character with a leaf on his knob.
Jesus. That's
no,
a
it's
custom
not.
Skin.
No, it's Adam.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, Alan.
Alan.
Alan and Ellen.
Alan. I don't think that he wore a leaf on his penis until later on.
No, I think he was just... You know, there was no modesty there. They were living in paradise.
Yeah,
right?
I think that what they should have done is made a pixel dongus there.
Yeah, cowards.
Maybe that is his penis and it's just green. It's hard to tell with Minecraft resolution.
Well, maybe that was the curse of being cast out of the Garden of Eden, is that we got these weird fleshy things when we used to have these amazing green luscious Wilsons.
Man was created to worship and love him. God called this first man, in quotes, Adam. Is what it said.
Shouldn't it be Steve?
And placed
Isn't
him
another
in...
Minecraft default man? Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Well, that's what I was hoping for. And then it just says, and placed him in the Garden of Eden. So not the Garden of Eden.
Oh, God. I give up. I give up with that.
I think we're done. There's no real Minecraft.
That's just kids club, isn't it? That's the youth church kids club trying to relate to the kids just all over again.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, God is in it, though. That's God taking a rib from Adam. He's just holding
oh my
a Minecraft
God. He's
bone.
He's just a regular-sized man.
Yeah.
So weird.
Okay, well, that's it. There's no Minecraft references in that. That's depressing.
Sad.
Good.
Unsubscribe.
Oh, there is a creeper.
What? How's the creeper in the
Bible?
Oh,
the creeper is the serpent.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's pretty good. But again, it's just photos, isn't it? It doesn't say creeper.
No, it's just it says serpent.
Ellen was tempted devil. By a creeper.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that.
Okay.
It does hiss, I suppose.
Well, that's a real letdown there.
Oh dear!
Kids would be more involved and interested if you'd made it about Herobrine, wouldn't they?
Yes, absolutely. Are you ready, Peter?
I'm ready.
It's time for the big discussion.
The biggest
big discussion this week, Peter. Mm. Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
There was a live stream at the time of recording yesterday from Gearbox.
Last night,
unveiling the new Borderlands and some various other announcements as well.
Mm.
But principal among that, I would say, it sort of raised the question. Lots of these big game companies, they're doing streams now instead of conferences.
Yeah, they're dropping out of E3.
Yeah.
And saying, we're going to do something like the week before.
We're going to do some streams and stuff. And
yeah.
It just got us thinking, like, is that where things are going?
Mm.
Because Nintendo have been doing their Nintendo Direct for quite some time now, and they always go down really well, and they always do a big one during E3 week at some point, so they don't have a physical presence there. I think they're on the show floor, but they don't have a physical conference
no,
presence
they don't,
there.
No, they don't get a room full of people.
Both PlayStation and EA now have confirmed they're not going to be at E3. However, EA have now confirmed that they're going to be doing EA Play.
Mm.
Which is a live stream, and it promises more games, less talking, presumably so they don't get booed.
Yeah, probably.
Or jeered when they're talking about Star Wars Battlefront and that. PlayStation have started doing these new things called State of Play, which is very much like a Nintendo Direct, and they did their first one this week as well.
Yeah, which had, I think, some good stuff, but...
I agree. People were expecting way too much. They said it was going to be about VR stuff and some software, and people were like, oh, Last of Us 2, PS5 announcement, rubbish! So, come on. It was like five, 10 minutes, like half an hour long.
Why would they not wait for E3 season to do that? If they're going to do that, they'll do a State of Play around then and talk about it. Or, you know, I don't know. But they certainly won't do it now.
I'd be highly surprised if they didn't do a State of Play during E3 week at some point.
Yeah.
Probably announce it like the week before and everyone go, ooh, it's going to be about VR stuff again.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some good VR games in there.
Well, there was some non-VR stuff there as well, right? There was, you know, we saw a bit of Days Gone.
Yes,
and,
yeah, we did.
And Crash and other things too. But yeah, VR, there was some... interesting stuff.
The sequel to sort of the sequel to the London Heist, which was part of the mini game collection.
Everyone's talking
VR
like
Worlds,
yeah,
which was the best part of VR Worlds,
mm.
and now they're making it into a full blown game, and it looks great. I'll I'll probably get that and play that through.
I recognised at least one of the actors.
Did you?
Yeah.
Aww.
But weirdly, he had an American accent, but I'm pretty sure he's a British guy. I've seen him in various things, like a bald man, and he's... I couldn't quite tell it was him in the gameplay footage because it was, you know, he's been sort of mapped in, scanned in. But on the, like, promotional image, I'm 99% sure it's the man who I think it is.
Oh, they all look like Charlie... what's his name? From
Charlie
Uncharted.
Brooker.
Not Charlie Brooker. You know, the English one.
Charlie...
What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
You know the fella.
Yeah, I do.
He pretends to be the bad guy in Uncharted 3, but then he's actually best friends.
Is he called Charlie?
I think so. Is he not Charlie?
Oh,
we'll
I know
work it out.
Yeah.
We'll look him up.
Drake.
We'll look him up in a minute.
I'm scared of heights.
But yeah, so that was good. I really liked that, and I think that bodes well as well going forward. Mm. Of course, Gearbox did their live stream, as we said this week, and I feel... very, very sorry.
Me too.
Because we were watching it last night and we couldn't really believe what was happening.
Mm.
Because it was a weird conference anyway, because they did have a script, but it seemed to be kind of meandering. They had an hour to fill.
Improvisational. There was a bit, occasionally a bit of like, so what's next? What are we doing next?
Yeah, are they ready to come out? Come on out. It was mainly hosted by Randy Pitchford, who's their CEO and chief bigwig boy. Mm. But... then, you know, there were weird bits where they talked about, because they're now a publisher as well, they talked through their various games that they were publishing, but they were talking about the zoom of the camera was on the guy presenting and he had stuff coming up behind him, but we couldn't see it.
Yeah, like, they never cut to the wide shot.
They didn't show what it was, and he was saying things like, there's this game, and some of you may have heard of it, and it's really good, so you should go and play it. But it was just one thing after another. He was just sort of reading off a list.
And at one point, an image came up on the screen behind him, and he didn't say anything because he was like waiting for the crowd to react to it.
Right.
So this image comes up, and he sort of goes like, yeah, yeah. And it's just a close-up of this guy and like a bit of blue screen in the corner, and you're like, oh, what could that be? But, you know, I kind of, like you say, I felt sorry for them. It was kind of their first big outing, certainly in a while.
I think so. A lot of people watching, because they'd pretty much said the new Borderlands is going to be and it's been 7 years since the last main series entry.
Really enjoyed watching them count to 47 twice.
He did a card trick for 15 minutes, a magic trick. And then was it before or after that because it was for this new tabletop game that they've got.
Mm.
He went through a deck of cards explaining what each card did. And it was
for a game that we don't know how to play yet, really.
Like, this is madness. Like, what is happening?
This is the claptrap gentleman arm.
Yeah.
You can see he's holding a monocle.
Like, I can't.
Yeah, right, okay.
It was really weird. But the bit that I really feel sorry for them, it was when they tried to show off their trailer for the Ultra HD free upgrade for Borderlands The Handsome Collection.
Yeah.
Which is, you know... great.
Mm,
and then
absolutely.
they tried to show off a trailer for Borderlands 1 Remastered, which again, very exciting. And then Borderlands 3, supremely exciting. But each time, apparently they were given a laptop, because it was at PAX, which is going on at the moment. They were given a laptop by the PAX organizers that was just woefully underpowered.
Yeah.
And
couldn't play a 4K video.
It couldn't. So it was just stuttering and freezing. And you could hear the crowd reacting, going, oh, God. At one point, It just crashed completely, and then they walked back out on stage and sort of had to improvise and said, well, what you would have seen in that trailer
there.
It's
an awesome high definition 4K version. After the second video failed, they sort of had another go at playing it, and it cut to an actual full screen capture of Windows with a taskbar.
Yeah.
And they're trying to play it in what wasn't VLC. It was probably like Windows Media Player or something.
Something like that.
Then as they're like clicking, there's a cursor just going around the screen. This little Windows alert comes up in the corner and says like...
update Windows Defender.
Windows 10 wants to...
verify your license.
Get permissions to play this 4K video at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's not their fault, and they must have felt really, you know, I can only imagine the chaos, the people running around backstage.
Well, you could hear him after the first one. You could hear Randy Pitchford say, "Let me know as soon as that's ready. You tell me as soon as that's ready," because he must have been losing his mind, as you would. Like, but the best, worst part of it was shortly after that they gave it one more try. It crashed. And then they cut back to the stage and the lights went off.
The lights went off instead of, I think they were meant to, because the lights were going to go down for the viewing audience so they could see the screen when the video played. But they're coming out onto the stage and then the lights go down.
I feel really sorry for them.
Of course, yeah.
But this is the kind of thing that clearly can go wrong with these live streams. Mm. But I think the nature of the Nintendo Direct and the state of play, I'm not sure about EA Play, it might be similar, is that these are pre-recorded things. They're not live.
Yeah.
They're pre-recorded.
I was saying to... Oh, sorry to interrupt you. I was saying to you yesterday that when I watched the developer stream, the first developer stream for Beyond Good and Evil 2, which was... they're just sitting in a room at Ubisoft Montpellier, and after about half an hour, they've been messing around with this smoke machine, like, just for fun, because I'm going to be on a ship. And then... this shelf just fell off the wall behind them, or like a statue fell over, and everyone just like looks around and goes, oh God, okay. And then there's like a stunned silence for like 30 seconds. And then Michel Ancel just like presses the smoke machine and it just goes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Gearbox could have gone to E3. Mm. Ubisoft Montpellier could have gone to E3 and done their stream then as well. But like more and more, publishers are saying, hey, you know, Twitch is actually really good. We can just do these streams whenever.
Yeah.
And the pre-packaged, tightly produced streams, I think, are probably going to be the future.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, obviously, it seemed to be Gearbox's first proper outing.
Yeah.
And like everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And like my heart goes out to them because that was rough to watch. And it must have been really hard to be so excited to show this new game.
Because they were.
And we were watching it together in the office last night. And I said to you, like, I can't. They started playing the Borderlands 3 trailer and it started stuttering. I was like, no, I can't watch this. If I'm going to watch this trailer, I've been waiting so long for this game.
Yeah.
If I'm going to watch this trailer, I need to watch it properly. So I waited half an hour until it was uploaded to their YouTube channel and then I watched it. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Which is the real takeaway here, is that Borderlands 3 looks bloody amazing. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, it has Tales from the Borderlands characters in, which is what I wanted from the Telltale series, because they're probably one of the best, you know, the better rounded, most interesting and funny characters in the whole Borderlands pantheon.
But then no more Telltale, so
no more Telltale.
They might not have been, we might have, you know, not seen them again, but they're back.
They're in there, and that's, I cannot wait, and I'm so excited, and we're talking to Gearbox at the moment. The Borderlands 1 remaster, I believe, is out next week.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're going to do something with that soon, so keep an eye out, but what do you think about like the state of streaming these announcements?
State of play.
And E3 in general, like how do you think that's going
to
go?
I mean, in a sense, like it's not that different to switching over to these streams, in that like nowadays the conferences are all very easily accessible live. So you're still watching a live stream of E3.
Gosh.
Oh, Ben's just...
microphone just hit me.
Yeah. You're still watching a live stream of E3. So in that sense... live things can still go wrong at E3, you know.
But, yeah, as they have done.
As they have done.
But they're probably, I think they were better produced usually.
Yeah,
than what
no, definitely, definitely. But I like the idea of, in a way, I like the idea of publishers and developers being able to do things on their own terms, you know, maybe from home, as it were, and just, you know, they've got the time that they want to have. If they want to sit and talk for 2 hours or 30 minutes on their own channel on Twitch or on YouTube, then they can do that, where rather than having to sort of get a slot on the main stage at E3. And, you know, the other thing then is that comes around once a year as like a big event. And if you don't want to be showing stuff off, unless you can be on stage there with a person to talk about it and you don't just want to put a trailer out, then... there's only so many opportunities throughout the year to do that at someone else's conference. But if you're doing your own stuff, you can run your trailers and then have some lead developer come out and say, hey, so this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm all for it. The only thing is, E3 is nice. It's nice to have just everything together in like 3 days, you know, like sit down and just binge on all these new announcements. Mm-hmm. And if it's being spread throughout the year, you know, you don't get it in one nice, giant, delicious banquet. No. But on the other hand, it keeps you ticking over throughout the year. Lots of different things happening.
Yeah.
So,
well, it seems that Microsoft, Bethesda, and Ubisoft, they're all confirmed for E3.
Mm-hmm.
But they do occasional announcements through the year. Like sometimes if there's something special to announce, they'll set a date aside. Bethesda in particular, they'll like have a countdown or something like that. But when it comes to actually... you know, doing stuff at E3, Nintendo and EA so far at least are still seeing the importance of cashing in on that hype around that time. So they still are going to do live streams.
Yeah.
They're going to have an event around that time. They just won't be doing a live press conference.
Yeah.
Sony, I would imagine they would do the same, but we don't have confirmation of that yet. Yeah. What it does mean, though, is that so many more people are going to watch Microsoft's conference now than ever before.
Yeah.
Because generally, and I don't mean this as a dig at all, but like generally they don't have a huge number of exclusive games.
No, they don't.
And largely their conferences are full of third-party games. Sekiro was, I think, oh no, it was Dark Souls 3 and at least Dark Souls 2, I remember, were debuted at Microsoft's conference, despite the fact that it has a history on PlayStation. And like it's going to be great for everyone because you can go there and just watch tons of third-party trailers and you know these games are going to come to PS4 as well or you know, likely Nintendo Switch or PC and so on and so forth. So I think it's just a win-win-win-win, basically. Yeah. I can't see any downsides of it. I like the streams. I do.
I think one thing that is important that I really hope no one does again this year, either at E3 or in their own live streams, is, do you remember when Sony last year at E3 did that weird kind of, it was very much tailored towards the audience, the live audience.
Yes.
Because they were like funneling them through different rooms that had different sets and like live entertainment going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all well and good, but like, I'm not really sitting at home watching a live stream to watch a guy play the banjo or guitar or whatever it was. Like, I'm sure it's a real experience being there.
Yeah.
And you have to weigh that up because you do have to put on a good experience for the people who are physically there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to keep in mind that, especially nowadays, more than ever, like, probably more, I mean, definitely more of your audience is not there. They're actually sitting at home watching live.
Absolutely.
And don't go tailoring the experience for like, oh, we're going to walk you through this, like,
for these 10 people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. Or these 100 people or so. Mm. Yeah, I think that was them very much testing the waters because, you know, that was the last E3 they may possibly ever have a conference at.
Yeah.
And the real news that came from PlayStation last year, they had a brilliant live stream schedule all through the week where a lot of the announcements came not from their scheduled conference. They were just having live streams with developers on, like Resident Evil 2 footage was shown off for the first time at just one of their live streams during the day that week.
Like Spyro as well, I think it was the same.
Yeah. They did a whole thing as well. PlayStation Access, our buddies over there were helping host a lot of those streams. And that's the kind of thing that could work. They don't need to be there to do that.
Yeah.
Like that stuff that they can capture beforehand, have an interview beforehand, and then have that all prepackaged and ready to go. So I think last year, as weird as it was probably testing the waters for what they're going to try and do moving forwards. But yeah, it was very strange to watch from home.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
So yeah, maybe E3 is, in a sense, on its way out in terms of a...
Yeah, I think E3 will still exist as a consumer show.
No, of
course. As more and more people are attending now that it's open to the public.
But E3 as we know it, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll still be... It'll probably become known as like E3 season rather than E3 the event. It'll be E3 season as fewer and fewer companies actually go, but they still cash in on that week.
Yeah, you have to feel sorry for E3, like putting on, they're doing all the effort. They've built this reputation. Then all the like publishers
Nintendo's
just decided.
Nah, we're going to stay in our hotel and run an MP4.
We'll do our own
MP4.
Thing, but if we just do it like the day before E3, then everyone will watch it because of the general hype.
We'll get in there early.
Yeah.
Everyone will be talking about
cheeky.
Us. Let us know what you think of not only Borderlands 3, but also the state of live streams in general. I know when we say live streams, obviously the normal conferences are live streamed as well, but we mean these prepackaged live streams.
Mm.
Is that where we're going? Do you like the idea of that? Do you like the clunkiness and the weirdness of an hour and a half sort of parade of men in suits coming on and trying to be relatable for an hour? Because I quite like those. And I am going to miss PlayStation doing it, but I do like the state of play.
Yeah.
And I want to see where that goes.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say about, not to dwell on it too much, but the Gearbox stream, you know, I felt more sorry for them with it going wrong, that they seem so down to earth and they seem to, like, they're quite self-aware.
Yeah.
They know their audience more than sometimes these suits seem to. And then when it goes wrong for them, you really feel like, oh, that could almost be me and you up there.
Yeah,
like,
it could.
You know, doing, so, you know.
Imagine if you'd made your Nazi comment on BAFTA and everyone just went silent.
Yeah.
and just literally looked at you in horror.
That it could be
happened.
Us.
It could have happened. But yeah, let us know what you think in the comments below, and share it with people as well who you might think find this interesting. Mm. And if you'd like to find us in our various places around the internet, Peter's going to tell you how.
We're everywhere, almost everywhere, at Team Triple Jump.
Team Triple Jump.
That's our YouTube channel, Team Triple Jump. We're on Twitch, where we stream 3 times a week. We're on Twitter, where we tweet regularly.
Yeah.
Team Triple Jump. We've got a Facebook, if you're 90.
Or feel like shouting about Brexit.
Yeah. Creek. We've got a Patreon. If you want to support this and other things that we make, it really literally is making a difference. You know, it's very easy to say that. But that's patreon.com/teamtriplejump. And there's all sorts of interesting rewards there. One of which is exclusive access to a room in our Discord, which is bit.ly/teamtriplejump. Yeah. We've got a website, haven't we, Ben?
We have, Peter.
Yeah.
It's triplej.mup. That's JU.mp. And if you go there, there's a link to our shop where you can buy these amazing hoodies we're wearing right now and also the mugs
if
that
you're
you
watching.
May be able to see on the table, as well as other things, a swimsuit, cushions.
T-shirts.
T-shirts, yes. And they all come in different colors as well. I know we're wearing the same color. Yeah. It was just a misorder.
It was an error.
I was meant to have a navy one, so hopefully we'll have a navy one next month.
It's not the shop's fault. It's our fault. No. We ordered the wrong
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you order something, you will get that. Yeah. Don't worry. It was a clerical error, an administrative error. Mm. Also, this podcast, if you're watching it, did you know you could listen to it too?
What?
That's been the case for a little while now.
I can do that by just shutting my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
With
oh,
the
God,
video
yeah.
open.
People have just been muting it and just watching the weirdos. play.acast.com/s/triplejump. Alternatively, all of the links to the various places, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, we're working on getting on Stitcher.
Snaggle.
I applied for that this morning. Snaggle, is
yeah,
that a thing?
No. Okay. Stitcher.
It's just playing with you. All the links are in the description far below. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it's @ThatPeterAustin and @Confused_Dude. And I've just opened an Instagram page. You've already got one.
Mm.
You're @ThatPeterAustin on Instagram
Peter
as well.
Austin, yeah.
And I'm @BenPotter20. And again, hopefully that information should be in the description and you can find it there.
We'll be instantly gramming on the regular.
On the reg.
We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. We stream, as I say, on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. That's 3 p.m. what will be BST going forward, British summertime. Worst games ever is fortnightly. And if you're a patron of $5 or more, you get to see it on the Friday.
Ooh.
If not, it's on Sunday for you.
Yep.
And the podcast, which you may be listening to on the day of release, is every single Saturday.
Every Saturday. Mm. Also, I know we said it last week, but we are actually doing the Discord live chat for patrons.
Mm.
There's a poll currently trying to decide what time of day would work best for you next week. If the time of day that gets chosen isn't best for you, we're going to try and shuffle it around and try and get as many people in across the various months that we do this.
Yeah, we'll do different days of the week, different times, because people work and school and things, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Definitely. Well, that's all, Peter.
Yep.
Thank you very much for watching, everybody at home. Let us know what you think of our various topics of discussion in the comments, and don't forget to share it with your friends or post it on the podcast subreddit. Sure, I'll go down.
r/podcast. Yeah.
Thank you very much for watching. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Ben.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.